You have your Bibles with you, please. We'd like to turn to Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. I'd like to thank Mr. Greer for his gracious words of welcome. It's nice to be here. It would be nice to be sitting down over there, but it is nice to be here and to have the privilege to bring the Word of God and to preach the Word even here in my own home congregation of Ballymena. Acts chapter 8, please. We'll begin to read God's word at verse 26. Let us hear the word of God. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way, rejoicing. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 39, knowing the Lord will bless the public reading of his word to all our hearts. Let's just unite our hearts, please, in a word of prayer, as we come to the Lord's word for tonight. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we do thank thee for another opportunity to further wait on the Lord. We thank thee, Father in heaven, that we can approach thee upon the merits of the precious, precious blood of Jesus, ever flowing free. We thank thee that that precious blood brings us into the holiest, into the courts of glory, gives us an audience with God. And we thank thee, our Father, that we can come to thee at this point in this meeting. I freely confess before thee my complete inadequacy to deal with what is now before me. And I commit myself unto God and to his grace. And I lay myself now before God on the altar. And praying, Lord, knowing my desire that only Christ will be exalted in this meeting, that thou would empty me of all sin and self, and that thou would wash me completely in Jesus' atoning blood, that thou would fill me now with the Holy Ghost and with power, that none will be seen save Jesus, none glorified save Almighty God. Father, extend thy kingdom in this meeting. Destroy the kingdom of the devil, and let the Lamb upon the throne have all the glory. We pray in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. In Psalm 49, verse 8, we read these words, For the redemption of their soul is precious. Be a person rich or poor, well known or not, in that individual's life there is nothing more important than the salvation of their soul. In this portion in Acts 8 that we've read tonight, we see the situation surrounding the salvation of a man's soul. The setting in which the portion is found is this. There has been a time of great spiritual awakening in the city of Samaria. God has blessed the ministry of Philip the evangelist. As a result, verse 8 of chapter 8 tells us there was great joy in that city. You see, Philip had come to be in the city at the time of the great persecution of the church in Jerusalem. The devil had stirred up persecution. Stephen has been put to death and has went to be with Christ. But instead of the church being destroyed, verse 4 tells us of chapter 8, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Samaria, as verse 5 shows us, was where Philip went to preach. Verse 6 tells us, the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. The result being, as we've already seen in verse 8, there was great joy in that city. Dear unsaved in the meeting, it would be our desire that you too would give heed to what the word of God would say to your heart. It would be our desire that you would give heed to what the word of God would say even tonight. The Holy Ghost here takes note that those in Samaria, they gave heed. They took heed to the word that was preached unto them. However, it was amidst this time of great awakening in Samaria that we come to look at Philip's call to leave Samaria. Philip's call to leave Samaria. This whole call is a great example of the love of God for a sinner's soul. It's a great example of it. Verse 26 says, now that's the setting, there's been a great awakening. And verse 26 says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Philip wasn't told any more than that at this point. It would soon be evident what it was all about. So being sure it was of the Lord, he arose and went. He didn't think, how can I leave here with what's going on? No, Philip was just a man who was happy to do the will of the Lord. If he knew what the Lord's will was, he was happy to do it. But friend, there's another in this road. Verse 27 tells us, an Ethiopian, an African, has just left Jerusalem. And the Holy Ghost also records what was noticed about this man, his purpose in Jerusalem. He had been to worship, and he's now returning home in his chariot. Here's a man, he's been to worship, public worship. He's on his way home, and his standing before God hasn't changed one bit from when he went into worship. And friends, we live in a land where men and women, multitudes, go to public worship. And they come and go, and they go into that place, a stranger to God and to His grace. And they leave it again, a stranger to God and to His grace. Maybe you're here tonight and that just about sums you up. We need to see here that in Acts 8, the Lord didn't pass over that little detail. He didn't pass over it. I don't know what the Ethiopian heard, but the Lord records that he had been there and he left again. But friend, I do know what many across our country do here. Week by week, they hear the faithful preaching of the Word of God. And yet they leave the house of God and their standing hasn't changed before the Lord. They still reject the Savior. It's a fearful thing to live before the eye of an all-seeing God and still reject the Lord. But who is this man? Well, this man, he's an Ethiopian eunuch. Verse 27 tells us, he's a man of great authority under Candace, Queen of the Ethiopians. He's in charge of her treasure. You like to say the man has done well in life. He has done well for himself. He has obviously been promoted. But friends, with all his authority, with all his authority that he rightly had, he's a spiritual pauper. He has no standing whatsoever with the Lord. And in verse 28, we see him here. He's returning home, and he's sitting in the chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. As he sits in that chariot, the Spirit says on to Philip in verse 29, go near and join thyself to the chariot. Philip runs across. He knew it was the Lord. He knew it was the Lord that had sent him on this journey. I believe that Philip, though he didn't know all the details, he knew what the journey was about. You see, Philip was called to be an evangelist. Philip was called to be an evangelist, and whether in Jerusalem or whether in Samaria or wherever the Lord would send Philip, he was going to be an evangelist. And here we have him here, down in this desert road, down in this road between two cities, between Gaza and Jerusalem. And he comes to meet and face to face with a spiritual pauper, a eunuch, a man without Christ. I want to speak tonight on a sinner who needed counseling concerning Christ. A sinner who needed counseling concerning Christ. I want first of all to note that the counseling that this man needed was made available by the Lord. I want you to notice first of all it was the Lord who made it all available. It was the Lord that had seen this dear man. I don't know how long coming and going from the house of God. It was the Lord that in private knew he was reading his Bible. It was the Lord that knew his heart. But dear unsaved friend in the meeting, it was the Lord's compassion and will that this man received counsel for his spiritual condition. He said to Philip, arise and go. Arise and go down the road, down that way, that south way, onto that road that's desert. It was the Lord who took Philip from the revival in Samaria. All for one soul. All for one dear sinner. Philip, go. It was the Lord who had providentially brought this meeting to pass. Dear unsaved, it's the Lord that is you in this meeting tonight. It's the Lord that is you in this meeting tonight. And I don't know your heart, but the Lord knows it. And just maybe in more ways than one, this eunuch situation just about sums you up. I don't know how often you go to worship, but you maybe come in and you go out, and obviously nothing changes. And maybe also as this man was in a desert, he's in a barren place. And maybe that's exactly where you are tonight, a wilderness. The Bible speaks of the sinner in the wild howling wilderness. And you're there because of your sin, friend, as we all were. As we all there were. You know in your life you've been coming and going. You see here tonight that the Lord Jesus in love to your soul has you providentially in his house again. Maybe you come here week by week. Friend, providentially the Lord has you in a place where week by week sinners are counseled through the preaching of the word. Maybe you don't know where you stand. You're in a wilderness that way, a desert that way. The Lord's telling you, dear friend, that just as he sent a preacher from Samaria to this barren road in a desert, friend, the Lord wants you to know he's done the same for you in this place. He's done the same for you. Wherever you are spiritually, counsel was available. Verse 27 again, Philip's down the road, he sees the eunuch. The Lord has just told Philip then in verse 29 to go and join himself to the chariot. Go and join himself. And verse 30 tells us, as the Lord's servant draws near, he hears him. He hears him reading the scriptures, and he's reading about the cross, and he's reading about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's now that Philip makes known that counsel's available. Counsel's available. He says to him, with all the skill of the evangelist that Philip had, because Philip was one of those in Acts 6, choose you out men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Philip says to this dear soul, understandest thou what thou readest? Philip makes it easy for him. See, Philip knows how concerned the Lord is about this soul. So concerned that he sent him out of the midst of revival to go and find him. Go and get this dear sinner. Come down this road, still not saved. And Philip knows the Lord's concerned about him. And now Philip's concerned. With a heart like the Lord. He says, understandest thou what thou readest? Philip wants to make it easy for him. He wants to do all he can to make it easy for this dear man. Understandest thou what thou readest? He made known counsel was available. But friends, secondly, there was counsel requested. We see here the sinner's responsible. The responsibility of the sinner to request help for themselves. Understandest thou what thou readest? The sinner's responsibility, yes, put himself under the word. Seek out counsel. Verse 31. Oh, you hear the cry of the soul. How can I? How can I except some man should guide me? There's the cry of a concerned soul. How can I except some man should guide me? And here we see the responsibility of this dear man. He prays Philip, come up into the chariot. He desired Philip that he come up and sit with him. That word desired, it means he prayed him. He exhorted him. He beseeched him. How can I except some man should guide me? He desires Philip, verse 31, to come up into the chariot. He didn't say, oh no, I'm fine, Philip. He didn't put it off to some other time. No, you see, the true sign of an awakened soul is he knows the matter is most urgent. He knows the matter. He knows that he and nobody else is guaranteed another moment. I'm not. Nobody else in the meeting is. And here's a sinner knows that he needs counsel. And dear friend, tonight, just to tie this in, just at this point, maybe there is something in your life and that you just don't understand and it's keeping you back from the Lord. You need to see here that you need to be responsible like this man and seek out counsel for that. That would be the Lord's will. That would be the Lord's will. You must seek it out. See the value of your soul. Time's not on your side. Time's not yours to play with. It was Bishop J.C. Ryle, that godly Anglican minister in Liverpool, who said this: a man's first step towards heaven is when he realizes the value of his soul. He realizes the value of his soul. Here's a dear sinner. He needed counsel. He needed someone to draw alongside to help him. But he had to make it known. Philip just couldn't barge into the chariot, as we say. He had to make it known. He had to make it known there was a need. He needed counsel. It was the sinner's responsibility. Dear sinner, sitting in private, reading about the cross, reading about the sufferings of the Savior. And the Lord sends one out of the midst of revival to go and reach him. To go and reach him. But friend, thirdly, there was counsel gladly given. Philip preached to him. Philip preached Christ to him. Philip gets into the chariot. This dear sinner reading about the cross, as we've said, and the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. He said in verse 34, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Verse 35 says, then Philip opened his mouth at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Sinner, do you see it? Do you see it? If the remedy for your sin, if you don't find the remedy for sin at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, you haven't found the remedy for sin. You haven't found the remedy. Here we see clearly, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Philip preaches unto him. Where was he preaching from? That great chapter of Isaiah 53. That's where he was reading. Verse 32, it says, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Philip shows this dear man the place of peace with God. The place of pardon for sins. That man, that sinner who sins against God as all sin is. As all sins against God. He's reading of the cross where the awfulness of sin is seen like none other and that none but Christ could pay for it. Led to see that because of his sin, my sin, your sin, the Savior's led as a sheep to the slaughter. You see, in verse 34, the eunuch asked that question, who speaketh the prophet? Of himself or some other man? Sinner, is that what the Savior means to you? some other man. Oh, friend, he's the Prince of Life, the Redeemer, the God-man, truly God, truly man. It was the Savior, the Lord of glory, God incarnate, that was led to the slaughter like a lamb dumb before a shearer. So opened he not his mouth. The Savior went to the awful death of the cross to pay for sin. Sin that's vile. Sin that he didn't commit. Sin that God will not at all acquit. Sin that God will not acquit. Sin that he never committed. My sin. Philip's sin. Your sin. The eunuch's sin. Sin that's rebellion against God. Sin that's against his law. Sinner, here we see the Lord being led as a sheep to the slaughter. Substitute for sinners. Dying in their place. Paying for sin. Oh, he's not some other man. He's the God-man. The Lord of glory. Philip opened his mouth at the same scripture. He preached on to him Jesus. In verse 32, friend, you see the awfulness of sin. The Lord Jesus led to the cross as a sheep to the slaughter. Savior, as the sheep, like a sheep for the sacrifice. As a lamb without blemish, never protesting his innocence. See, friend, he went to the cross by divine purpose and the counsel of God. That he might satisfy for sin. That he might be the expiation of sin. Christ was delivered unto death for our offenses, for my offenses, for my sin, for your sin. Because, friends, sin had to be paid for. Sin had to be paid for. God's justice demanded payment. God's justice demanded payment. You see, friend, God's law had been broken. That's what sin is. Sin is a transgression of God's law. And before you or I or Philip or the eunuch or anybody else could ever have been saved, an offended God had to be pacified. The law had said the wages of sin is death. The law said the soul that sinneth it shall die. Therefore, friends, since that be the case, the logical conclusion is this. Either the sinner dies and pays for his own sin, or somebody pays for them for us. But sin will be paid for. Because God's justice demanded the law can't change. The wages of sin is death. The law is inflexible. You see, friend, I've already said God's justice had to be satisfied. What is God's justice? Justice is to give every man, every one, his due. Proverbs 24, verse 12 says this, shall not God render to every man according to his works. You see, sinner friend, the God that you have sinned against is just. He's a God of justice. His holiness is the cause of his justice. And God's justice is seen in that he punishes sin by his law. God gave the law. We broke it and break it time without number in word, thought, and deed. And therefore, when God punishes sin, he punishes by a law, and therefore he punishes sin justly. And Philip here has just took the eunuch to the cross, and he preaches Jesus unto him. You see, sinner friend, there's only one way. As Paul said, that God could ever remain just and justify a sinner. And that's what happened at the cross. That's what happened at the cross. Romans 3. Many of you will know these verses. Being justified freely by his grace. Through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Whom God have set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. That God might be just. And the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. There's only one way that God could ever remain just and justify a sinner like me or you. And that's because of what happened at the cross. What was Paul saying there in Romans 3? He was saying this. The sinner that God is just in justifying. The sinner that God is just in pardoning. The sinner that God is just in forgiving and declaring righteous is the sinner that relies on Jesus Christ alone and His cross work and His work of redemption there. There are no other grounds for God justifying a sinner but redemption ground. Grounds of the precious blood. You see, friend, God's justice says it must be satisfied. But friends, God's justice says something else. God has ordained that sin will be paid for. Your sin, sinner friend, will be paid for in one of two places. You need to be not mistaken about that. Every sin you commit will be paid for. Friend, it will be paid for either God's hell or be paid for at Christ's cross. And sinner, see tonight that if you never get to the cross, if you never get to Christ, if you say, no, that's not for me, well, sinner, friend, I've got to warn you in love to your soul, you'll pay for your own sin. You'll pay for it in everlasting punishment. Because you see, friend, I've said God ordained two places where sin would be paid for. There was a cry come up from the cross that it'll never come out of hell. John 19:30. It is finished. It is finished. Christ drank damnation dry. Friend, that cry, if you die without Christ, it'll never be heard. For it'll never be finished. It was Daniel that said, Christ will finish transgression. He would make an end of sin. He would make reconciliation for iniquity. And friend, he did it at the cross, where God's love and God's justice did meet. The hymn writer said, as to the lonely patriarch, the wondrous dream was given. So seems my Savior's cross to me, a ladder up to heaven. Oh, friend, tonight see your need. See your need in this meeting. You haven't Christ. Because if you're ever to be declared righteous, you've got to get to the cross. For there is God, Christ satisfied. There is man he suffered. In life he gave that obedience to the law demanded from each one of us. In death he paid the penalty of a broken law. Friends, see tonight there is no other way. Friend, God's justice tells us one more thing. Because God is just, there will be a judgment day. There will be a judgment day. We live in a world where sin abounds and saints are wronged and sin's rampant. The day is coming because God is just when God will set things right. God will give every man justice. And friends, he'll do it by the one that Philip preached unto this eunuch. He'll do it by Jesus Christ. Paul said in Acts 17, God will judge the world in righteousness. By that man whom he have ordained, whereof he have given assurance unto all men that he raised him from the dead. Sinner friend, see tonight that the judge of all the world, the one who'll sit upon the great white throne on judgment day, is the one that we urge you to flee to tonight. Make him your Savior. Make him your Savior, because if he's not your Savior, he will be your judge. He will be your judge because God is just. Philip opened at the same scriptures and preached on to him Jesus. He preached Christ crucified. Told him about the cross. But sinner friend, that counsel we see fourthly was counsel that was gratefully received. It was counsel that was greatly received. Verse 36 says, and as they went on their way. Now I know what that means. It means they left the place they were. Physically, literally. But friends, I think it means something else. I think we could see something else there. think we could say, as they left the cross. As they left the cross. For friend, in verse 36, now we have the eunuch. And he says, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What has happened? In verse 37, he's asked to make a profession of faith. And he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What has happened? He got to the cross. He saw his sins forgiven. He's fled to Christ. And now it's time to be baptized. And now he's making a public confession. Oh, in verse 34, he said, is this the prophet or some other man? But his eyes are opened by the Holy Ghost. And now he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He got to the cross. He saw that no other man could pay for his sin. 10,000 deaths like mine would have been all too few. The one that had to pay for sin, as I've already said, the God-man. Because as man, Christ suffered. But as God, he satisfied. As God, he satisfied. The eunuch got to the cross. Got his sins under the blood. Saved. What a difference it made to him. Verse 39, the council ends. The council ends. They part. Philip's job's done, as it were. The eunuch goes on his way rejoicing. Council that took him to the cross. Called on the Lord. Found the joy of sins forgiven. Found peace with God. On his way rejoicing. Witnessing now for the Savior. Witnessing now for the Savior. What made the difference, friend? He got to the cross. The sinner's refuge here below. The angel's theme in heaven above. It was the cross work of Christ that made all the difference to this sinner. You see, friend, if you're ever going to be in heaven, it's the cross work of Christ that you need to get to. It'll make all the difference for you. Whereas this dear man, it didn't only make difference to him in life. He left there to be a witness for Jesus Christ. But friends, he left there. It didn't only make a difference for him in life, the cross work of Christ. It made a difference in death. Because now he's with the souls of all the sinless, gathered round the crystal sea. Cross of Christ, that day, he began his journey yet again from worship. Unsaved. On his way home again. Friend, that day he was stopped. He was stopped, and not only in his journey to Gaza, but his journey to a Christless eternity. And that day he began not only again his journey to Gaza, but his journey to heaven and to home. His journey to heaven and to home. He could say with Paul, the handwriting of ordinance that were against me are nailed to his cross. Nailed to his cross. Friend, I'm nearly finished. Where will your eternal home be? Let's be honest with ourselves in this meeting. Have you ever been to the cross? Have you ever been to the Christ of the cross? The work of the cross. I'm not talking about the wood of the cross. I'm talking about the work of the cross. Where are you heading, friend? Where are you heading? In eternity. Where are you heading? Is it with Christ? Heaven with Christ? Hell without him? Oh, friend, the cross of Christ makes all the difference in life. It makes all the difference in death. Henry Francis Light, let me close. The writer of that hymn, Abide With Me, came to faith in Christ as a man of 25 years old. In the year 1818, on the 5th of September, 1847, after God had saved him, in 1818, he made him a preacher of the gospel. On the 5th of September, 1847, Henry Francis Light preached his last sermon to his beloved congregation. He knew his health was deteriorating, and he left that meeting and knew that because of his health, he wouldn't get through another winter in England. His congregation was in Brixham, Devonshire, in England. But friend, that night, as he sat on a cliff, he took a pen from his pocket. 2 months before his death, he penned the words of "Abide with Me." And he wrote, "Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away." And friend, the last verse he wrote this. He knew where he was heading. He knew whom he had believed as a boy, a young man of 25. He knew that God had saved him that night, and he rested in the cross work of the Lord Jesus. And that night, knowing that death was soon to come, he penned this as he watched the sunset go down, not only in England, but upon his life on earth. He said, "Hold thou thy cross before my closing eye. Shine through the gloom. Point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks, and earth's faint shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me." Friend, if you're in this meeting and you're not saved, you're not, and you can't say that, there'll be no heaven break for you, friend. But my heart's desire, the heart's desire of this congregation, is for you. That you, like the eunuch, that you, like Henry Francis Light, might flee to Jesus Christ. Then when your time comes to leave this earth, you'll be able to say, "Heaven's morning will break, and earth's faint shadows will flee, because in life and in death, my Savior will abide with me." But friends, it starts at the cross. Your sin is going to take you to hell, because God is just. Friend, God ordained a way that he might remain just and justify all that believe in Jesus. And it's the cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ where God's love and God's justice did meet. May God write his word in your hearts for his name's sake.